You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
It's for those a-holes over at Hezbollah. Got the JJ King of Beepers followed by the explosion. So, welcome back to Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Barney and I got a kick out of Matt Neely's first hour podcast description. Your title? What was it? One more. It was Beepers and Badgers and
Barney Beepers and Badgers.
Oh, my. Beautiful. Who knew?
I was going Bobbles, Bangles, and Beads, and then I threw in an oh my. You know, that's the vibe.
Oh
I was
my!
Oh my! Whoa, Nelly!
We've had a fun show so far, and we had a great hour, second hour with CJ Ham, opening up his new restaurant, Ham Bones on Craycroft, 2027 South Craycroft. We are doing a grand opening ribbon cutting with all the Wakeys and friends on Monday at 10 a.m. Please join us. We're going to have CJ with his sharpest chef knife go John Belushi samurai on the, not that bullcrap big scissor junk.
No OSHA violations,
no
please.
No way. So anyway, please join us for that. Check out hambonestucson.com. Two M's in ham. Ham. So yesterday we got a little infield reporting with Barney Brenner here today. Barney, good morning, sir.
Good morning again.
You were at the Tucson Crime Free Coalition press conference yesterday.
Yes, I was.
Set the scene, Barney Brenner. Go.
Well, a bunch of mostly retired deputies show up with Richard Carmona, who was SWAT in the department, has got more experience with that department than almost anyone, and they thoroughly savaged Nanos and the way the department is being handled, totally unprofessionally, lot of vindictiveness. You can't get a word in edgewise unless you are among the favored inner circle, and the favored inner circle is pretty incompetent.
Yeah,
they have one of the worst deputies in Pima County history as probably the chief advisor.
Yeah, I've heard that before too, many times.
So the department's a mess, and you know the thing that I was not pleased about. They mentioned, his opponent Heather Lappin, but just a couple of times, and never her last name, always as an aside. So yeah, they savaged the department. But how much good it'll do, I don't know.
Well, then,
probably not much.
I only saw one news story so far about this was Kenny Darr over at K-Gun 9. So here's the thing that's sad. I don't know if K-Gun, to me, they spiked part of the story, which is sad.
The biggest part of the story.
And it was the reason why they called the press conference in the first place. So Kenny Darr does a story here. There's a one set there. He does not. So Josh talked a little bit from Crime Free, right? Sergeant Aaron Cross from the deputy county organization, right? But the reason they did this also was the featured guy was Richard Carmona, right? Former Pima County SWAT, Keno Hospital, U.S. Senate candidate, Surgeon General. All these things. Kenny Darr and K-Gun 9 wash out Richard Carmona's presence at the actual thing, at the actual press conference. He is the lead part of the press release that went out.
Was Sheriff's Department member.
Right.
For years.
And he spoke for 20 minutes. He was the longest speaker, right, Barney, of anybody?
Oh, not even close.
Right. So 20 minutes, and the guy who's the featured speaker, and Kenny Darr and K-Gun 9 wash it.
Guy served as the Surgeon General.
Correct.
Noteworthy appearance.
Correct. And K-Gun 9 washed it.
But even without his credentials, the reason they held this press conference is because this prominent guy was going to speak from experience and warn the community about the dysfunctional sheriff's department we have.
Then Kenny Darr sits down with Sweaty Pitts and they wash it, saying, oh, the data shows they're not right. And so basically in the end, Kenny Darr, the idea that he washed that you didn't know that Richard Carmona was even present.
And then from what you just said, close the story with a lie.
Well, again, I don't know if
which they addressed at the press conference. The reason they can even talk about crime numbers being lower than they are is the populace here knows damn well that calling something in is not going to have the least effect. So they don't bother.
Yeah.
They talked about 40% of crimes going unreported. That means 60% get reported. That means they could have a 2/3 increase in the reporting to get to the actual numbers.
Correct. All forgotten by KGUN9.
And Barney, how many times you've said it, I've said it, Chris has said it, many, many people on this show have said it. It's the bias is not always in that they report it from the wrong angle. The yep. bias is in omission too, right? That so bias can be just omitting key facts, right?
But they did both here. Not only did they omit, they came in and said, well, the people that spoke about this were incorrect.
It's like having a, Yes is going to have this concert, right? And they only talked about the opening act and forgot that the main greatest group in the world wasn't even there, even though Richard Carmona is more like Kaja Gogu and not Yes. But he was the main reason. That was the press conference. Former Surgeon General, former Pima County Sheriff's Deputy, former Pima County SWAT, right?
Right.
Former COVID test the poop guy at the U of A.
Figure. Yeah, yeah.
Right? Was the speaker, and wasn't even mentioned in the KGUN9 story. Media, stop. When Trump says you guys are the enemy of the common people, stop playing into it. Or either two things, either stop playing into it or stop clutching your pearls when people mention it. So let's sneak in bill number two before we go to break. He's got breaking news. My God, who knows? Oh, whew. What you got for me, bro?
Hey, good morning, guys. Before I get started, that was a lot of formers on this guy.
Absolutely.
God, he's been around since the dark ages. Hey, in regards to these pagers blowing up on Hezbollah,
oh no!
I just saw on the news that their walkie-talkies are now blowing up over there.
Ah!
So, it sure looks like at some point in time, these guys are going to carry nothing with a battery. Looks like they're going to do their communications with carrier pigeons.
Yeah, there was a joke about that as well.
So as soon as they can get a carrier pigeon to blow up, they'll quit using those things too. So,
walkie-talkies, they just said? Their yep. walkie-talkies are blowing up too?
Oh, wow. Yeah, the day after. The day after, the other stuff was blowing up. So stick around. We'll see what happens tomorrow.
Oh, my Lord.
Hopefully this will hurt recruiting.
Hambone's going to kill it over there. I mean, that menu sounds so good. It's unbelievable.
Absolutely. I love what he's doing. Thanks, buddy.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. 8:16. All right. Let's go to break. You're on Wake Up Tucson. Our good friend Grant Kruger's coming up on Jump in Tucson. We got Food for Thought, one of my favorite Grant things that he does. And then he has the owner of Scented Tea Leaf Tea House coming on after Food for Thought. So Barney Brenner, Christy Simone, and you, it is Temptations versus the Four Tops, courtesy of Dr. Neil, president of the Pew of A, and the superintendent of PUSD, where he does not need to fight with the internal auditor. Wake up. Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Haven't heard Bernadette in a while.
Been a bit.
8:21 in the morning. Barney Brenner, Christy Simone, and you're on Wake Up Tucson. Hoffman just sent that the Onion newspaper, which is satirical, of course, said, breaking news, Rashida Tlaib's pager just blew up. Damn.
Wowie. Wow, wow, wow.
Uh, Also, before we get to the call, and we will get to the Val Cavazos piece, but breaking news, this is not like fun breaking news. This is actual breaking news. According to Christy Simone's former Nassau County Police Department, during a canine sweep during their checks, they found an explosive device in one of the vehicles that the driver ended up running into the woods. This is at the President Trump's rally in Nassau County. The perimeter was breached. Blue barrel was removed from the one surrounding the Trump rally site.
So when the Secret Service said there was no known threat to Trump at the Tucson, well, yeah, maybe not specifically, but two assassination attempt, I would say would be a broader blanket of a known threat to Brett.
Except Trump. That they weren't known, and they should have been. That's the key. No known threat. How many unknown?
Oh, that was Babylon Bee, not The Onion, which makes more sense because The Onion's a little lefty. Let's go to Steve. He's been on hold. Steve, thanks for holding. You're on with Chris and Barney. What's up, buddy?
Hey, good morning, Chris. I just wanted to tell you about some vandalism that I had on the west side over by my office at Grant and I-10, which is like ground zero for homeless people.
Yep.
But anyway, so I was listening to your guest speaker, and he was talking about the statistics and the data, being down because people don't even call it in. Well, what I found out was that, so I reported that I had two incidents where they vandalized two units on the first one and then one unit on the second one, so three units total. And I submitted a report online to the Tucson Police Department, and I found a thermos on the roof. So I waited for a call. I kept getting these survey texts from them, but, how was your officer, blah, blah, never got...
hold on. You're getting survey texts before the actual cop shows up?
Exactly.
I'm only laughing because I don't want to cry.
I know. And so I emailed the West Precinct, and they had a young lady call me, and, she said some of the officers, the nighttime officers, so he's going to call you. So, and I'm up, I've got my phone on 24/7 because I do property management, and never received a call. So I decided to finally take the thermos over to the police department, ironically, yesterday during the Board of Supes meeting. I went over there instead, and I spoke to an officer at the desk, and he said that online reporting just never gets looked at. It goes to some, it's just for insurance purposes or something like that, but you don't get a call back. And then if you have a problem, you're supposed to call that number from the survey, 741-4444, but endless loop. You don't ever go anywhere. So, but he told me, yeah. So I took the thermos over there, dropped it off. He said, next time you have vandalism, call 911, even though it's not an emergency, to try to get an officer that way. That's the only way you're going to get an officer to report on your vandalism. But apparently this guy's been, he also told me that he hit a building on Forbes and got 4 out of 6 AC units over there, and that somebody saw him, called 911, and so they apprehended him. So hopefully that's the end of it, but... Anyway.
Well, he'll be replaced.
But what you're saying, Steve, is even the crimes that get reported don't get reported or picked up.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Exactly.
So that's a great question. So the ones that are going into the database for insurance purposes, are they actually getting counted as actual crimes? Right? Because I assume if there's no police officer to do a report for reals, they're not counting it as a... That might be...
Yeah, I mean, right. He told me that it just kind of goes to Mars, it just goes in the system. But nobody ever looks at it, and if you try to call the number, it's an endless loop, so you're never going to get anywhere. So if you want an officer to investigate it, like I found a thermos and a shirt on the roof. The guy had like a shirt up there that he pooped in, and anyway, I threw it away, but... Anyway, no officer was ever going to call me back on those online reports. You're not going to get anybody ever. So maybe that's the reason that it's not going in a database, because it's defunct now. Something about their system is defunct.
So, Steve, when we talk about these AC units and other damage, let's say over the last year or two, how much money are you out, even if it's covered by insurance, but how much damage has occurred at your places over the last year or two? What would you say? Give me a ballpark.
Well, we have nighttime security at night, privateer security So they keep a lot of the riffraff out. But yeah, so mine was about 35,000, you know, 10 grand and change a piece for each AC unit. And then there's a building on Huachuca, 2445 Huachuca, that's been hit several times where they stole all their tools. They had cameras and, you know, they didn't really get a good description of the guy, but that guy's been vandalized. And then, you know, the plumbing companies get their trucks vandalized all the time. Ram Plumbing and Reuter King Plumbing have had multiple break-ins. And then Sampson & Sons had their, the guy hops the fence and gets in their yard. CRDN Bell Drapery, they had, they used to get their truck vandalized. So, I mean, it's ongoing, but, you know, the nighttime security helps, but we don't have anybody during the day. And so, you know, I think this AC vandal came during broad daylight, hence he brought his cooler full of orange juice and went to town. It looks like the AC units are just, you know, destroyed. I mean, they're all in pieces on the roof, you know, just completely destroyed.
So this is why Tucson is the podunk crap town that it is we've come to a point where Steve losing $35,000 worth of AC parts is no longer an emergency. Right?
Yeah.
That's the disgusting part.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, and, you know, we have other buildings there, and I'm, hoping that we get the guy before he, you know, hits some of the other buildings. Now, that's my fear. Because I'm, you know, the association president, so it looks bad on me that, you know, even though we have nighttime security, that the buildings are getting vandalized.
And with all this huge amount of damage that comes out of your pocket, would you say that the vandals couldn't get more than a couple hundred bucks out of what they're ripping off?
Yeah, on the AC units, you know, they're taking copper, so they're just, you know, each unit's 10 grand and so, or 12. And they're just, you know, getting a couple hundred dollars worth of copper out of them.
Sick.
Nuts.
Steve, we're running out of time. Thanks. Hang in there, dude. And thanks for reporting the reality of what's going on out there.
Yep. You're welcome.
Thanks, Steve. Oh, no. You're on Wake Up Tucson. We're going to get to that Cavazos piece, I promise. It's happening. It's happening. You're on Wake Up Tucson. All right. Temptations versus Four Tops. Thanks to Dr. Neil. We're gonna take this call. Then I'm not gonna get to Valerie yet. We have to push her tomorrow. I do want to get to the blind people from going to a Trump rally at the TCC Music Hall. But let's go to Charles Heller real quick. Charles, you're on with Chris and Barney. What's up?
Thanks. You do not have a TPD case number unless it starts with the year and then about a 7-digit number after it. If you've got some other number, that's not a reportable crime in the TPD database. That's how they do their case numbers. I don't know how I haven't had a sheriff's call in a long, long time, but I've had a couple of case numbers with TPD, and that's how they start. And if yours doesn't look like that, it's not in the database.
Okay. That's good to know. So again, are those ones that are getting fed into the database from people doing online that Steve's talking about? And I thought it was absolutely pathetic that he's getting, how was the service from your police officer when they never showed up? I mean, that is
right.
So Tucson.
Right. And I also, I suspect strongly that they're also not making it into the FBI database on the uniform crime reports, making Tucson look better than it is, and it doesn't look that great. Also, update on Rashida Tlaib. She was not injured when her pager went off because her brother husband happened to have been carrying it.
Yeah. Dang.
Wrong squad member, I think.
That's true.
By the way, I had one other update on that. Hamas recently rejected an order of 4,000 carrier pigeons when one was detected with an explosive beak and some contact lenses with blue six-pointed stars on them.
Wow.
Wow.
Thank you.
See ya.
Say goodnight, Gracie. All right. Wake Up Tucson, 790-2040. So, Chorus Nylander. Let's file this one under the bizarre story of the week, at least, because there's always a new bizarre story, because I don't want to say of the year, because the year's not over yet, okay? I mean,
the week's young.
I mean, I thought the bizarre story was a soon-to-be ex-state senator calling for the people to rally around her to support her for going 71 and a 35.
Depositions of the mayor and chief of police.
Oh, that's right. She wants depos of both of them. So that'd be good. Why not? It's a mystery at the Donald Trump rally that left multiple people with eye injuries and few answers. News 4 Tucson investigator spoke exclusively with six people who were seated on the stage behind President Trump during his rally in Tucson. Three of them agreed to on-air interviews. All the people we spoke with experienced eye irritation and sought medical attention. One of them is Myra Rodriguez, a Planned Parenthood whistleblower, and she was just on the show about 10 days ago.
She had a fabulous segment. She used to be a Planned Parenthood employee and thought it was great until she got moved into management.
Yep.
And then saw how horrific it all was.
Yeah, the body parts, the just sick. Rodriguez said her presence behind... We didn't get this in our discussion. Her presence behind Trump at the rally was ironic because she was seated behind Hillary Clinton during the 2016 campaign. She told Chorus that she enjoyed the rally but started experiencing severe eye issues after leaving. As soon as we left, we stepped outside and my eyes were burning. At first, she just thought it was allergies. She lives near Phoenix. And after her 90-minute drive from Tucson home, she said she decided to go to the emergency room. The emergency staff, room staff, from the triage nurse to the physician's assistant asked, "You sure you didn't get sprayed with something? Your symptoms look like you got sprayed with something," unquote. News 4 investigators spoke with her on Friday, the morning after the event. Now, Chorus, I love you. Not everyone's perfect, but you literally said in the beginning of the story that there were eye irritations. Now, let me get to this line. When News 4 investigators spoke on Friday morning after the event, Myra said she was nearly blind, which feels a little bit more severe than, quote, irritation. Quote, "I can't see anything when I try to open my eyes. I see a bright light. It hurts. It hurts to open my eyes. I have this cold cloth I put on and take off constantly. It's horrible." She said her doctors were not able to pinpoint exactly what caused her injuries. Her vision has started to improve as of Tuesday, as her blindness does not appear permanent. Her initial thoughts of it being allergies seemed to go out the window when she started to hear from several other people that were seated near her at the event reporting that they too suffered eye injuries. News 4 investigators spoke with a brother and sister who were seated with Myra, near Myra. They didn't want to be identified. I love that. They're so afraid of being what? Their name at a Trump rally in Tucson. They didn't want to be named. Wow.
Yeah, culture what it is.
Quote, this is the sister. "It kept on getting worse and worse. My eyes were watering a lot. My nose started running. When I started feeling my face get really flush, my neck felt like it was on fire, and it just progressed from here." The brother told us, quote, "It was all focused on my eyes. My eyes were red like hell. You know it's unbearable. I couldn't handle it," unquote. Other supporters who did not agree to be on camera told us about similar injuries. One woman who's a local realtor said she had to cancel all of her showings over the weekend because she couldn't see well. Rodriguez reported her experience to the Trump campaign, was told it was investigating. On Tuesday, after reported inquiries, this is another thing. Now, again, Chorus, you're the gentle giant. You do some good work. But here's where you're missing in the story. You sent repeated inquiries to the Trump senior campaign advisor. Quote, and they gave you a statement. They're collecting collecting evidence, information. The Secret Service tells us it was not made aware of the situation, but said there was no known threat to President Trump. So, Chorus, maybe they cut it. Maybe your news director cut it. I'm gonna be magnanimous here. Why didn't you talk to the city of Tucson and the Tucson Convention Center?
Thank you.
Glenn Grabsky is a very nice man. He could give you a, maybe my lawyers don't want me to talk about it, or like, why is the Trump Trump committee doing an investigation? Shouldn't it be the city of Tucson? I got people who got blinded being in the Tucson Linda Ronstadt. You notice he didn't say the word Linda Ronstadt Music Hall in a blinding story.
Of course not. And, you know, at least one sign that we know of was posted expressing hostility for the visit.
Now, it's interesting.
I'm just saying.
No, actually, so there's one extra quote on the bottom. He did reach out to Pima County Supervisor Adelita Grijalva about the situation, and she said, blank your eyes, MAGA trash.
Wow. I think that was a little bit of satire there. I'm just gonna go.
Lots of satire. Oh, you like Trump? You like Trump? Deserve your blindness. I love it. All right. When we come back, we're now gonna play the Cavazos piece. It's true. It's true. It's happening. All right. Barney Brenner, Christy Simone. Tomorrow, David Schweikert and my buddy Chris Collins, who's the associate pastor at OVCN, Oro Valley Church of the Nazarene. He did a sermon a couple of Sundays ago when I was asking what churches are coming out against this horrible abortion thing, right? Chris, I guess, did a kick-ass sermon on Christians and participating in the political process and talking about the infanticide Prop 139. So Chris and I have done deep dives on Faith, Family, and Schools podcast, and he's going to be on the show during the second hour. We're going to go deep dive on where faith intersects with politics. So it'll be kick-ass. I said it again. And
thank you, Cartman.
Thank you very much.
Kick ass.
8:44 in the morning. You're on Wake Up Tucson. Grant Kruger coming up in about 20 minutes on Jump In Tucson. Wow. Wowie, wow, wow. Dr. Neil, thanks for putting the playlist together. I appreciate it. Good job, my friend. He made it easy for us. 18 songs, one band versus the other. No explicit language, I don't think. And actually, there's one that Matt missed yesterday while he was talking.
Probably.
I'll tell you off air.
Okay.
You were talking to Maxwell. I'll tell you what.
Okay.
It is. It's a good one though.
All right.
It's hot. It's way hot.
It's so hot.
Let's get to Valerie Cavazos. I've been teasing this thing for 2.5 hours since we were talking about badgers getting caught in soccer nets. I didn't know we had badgers in Tucson. There's that one. I'd never seen a badger at the Desert Museum. So if there's nothing, if it's not the Desert Museum, it doesn't exist. That's what I'm taking here. So before Matt plays, this was brought up a little bit during our conversation with Peter Norquist during Libertarian Madness Hour. Oh, sorry. Hugs and kisses and
enlightenment
and
sure.
Learning and inquisitive words and stuff. Hour with Peter Norquist last week about the auditor calling out the administration for lots of problems. And this is on top of another story by Valerie, how the state Department of Education is accusing TUSD of flubbing their attendance numbers for possibly funding reasons. So let's go to Cavazos. This is a 5-minute piece. Let's go.
Over audits has surfaced in the Tucson Unified School District. It's a critically important issue because audits evaluate how well districts run schools and spend taxpayer dollars.
We are now learning of a deeply rooted rift between the internal auditor and the superintendent of TUSD. 13 News Chief Investigative Reporter Valerie Cavazos explains what's happening.
The showdown played out in the public arena during the August 27th governing board meeting. A few weeks ago, 13 investigators learned of six finalized audits that the public had never seen. Now, before the meeting, I got my hands on one of them, student attendance, which we've already reported. Now, this audit described several glaring concerns that could impact student achievement and the recommendations for improvement. Tonight, the rest of the audits and how the outcome of the showdown could impact the district's path.
The public would have likely missed it. Placed in the consent agenda items, a request by the superintendent for a quality check of the internal audit function by an outside reviewer at a cost of up to $50,000.
There's no guidance on what happens when a finding is disputed between the administration and the internal auditor.
A board member asked for that consent item to be pulled out.
That was Sadie Shaw.
It seems as if we're questioning the validity of the auditor's work.
Trujillo recommended the district administration be involved in the selection of the reviewer candidates. But the audit committee fired back. Member John Blackshear took aim at the superintendent.
It is a blatant violation of best practices to have the CEO of an organization involved with anything to do with the independent auditor.
TUSD has only one, Martha Smith. She squared up and in detail defended the integrity of her work, 64 audits over the span of nearly 5 years.
While I am not in any way opposed to having a quality assurance, as a matter of fact, I welcome it, and I have nothing to hide.
She said it's a conflict of interest to have the superintendent evaluate or interfere with her audits, and questioned Trujillo on why he has kept her latest audit hidden from the public.
So, Dr. Trujillo, why are you so adamant about not releasing a completed and final internal audit report?
This is what she's talking about. Before the board meeting, six final audits had not been seen by the public, dating back to September of last year. Equality, Diversity, and Inclusiveness, the latest audit, Exceptional Education Department, Student Attendance, Human Resources, Asset Management, Employee Relations.
Basically the whole damn district.
Then after the board meeting, they all appeared on the district's website that included district responses for the first time since 2020. In the EDI report, Smith cited serious concerns, some that could lead to legal issues and financial penalties. She wrote, "The organizational structure is not conducive to an efficient and effective operation." She listed claims of inequitable hiring practices, staff working in a toxic work environment, improper payment practices, and overstaffing and minimal supervision. She concluded key findings indicate a pressing need to clarify the department's purpose and align it with the district's mission. Trujillo submitted a 221-page response to Smith's findings, noting the audit comes at a time of transition for the EDI department after the departure of the assistant superintendent of EDI. A credible source told 13 Investigates, Trujillo wanted certain information eliminated from the audit before it was released.
I haven't seen a report in my time
Sadie
as
Shaw.
A governing board member be so taken apart and requests to be for information to be redacted. I think that these requests kind of overstep transparency and accountability.
What about the other audit reports that were not released to the public, again, dating back nearly a year ago? All but one, the ex-ed audit, had serious concerns. Smith concluded in the employee relations stipends audit, the current processes and procedures were found to be convoluted, subject to human error, and result in multiple inaccuracies. In the HR and asset management audits, Smith concluded she cannot provide the governing board with reasonable assurance that the departments are performing effectively, Trujillo told the board.
And I think everything you've heard strongly justifies an outside independent voice that is not vested in management's view or the internal auditor's view or the audit committee's view. I would stand behind any external consultant coming in here and issuing those recommendations so that finally we could have clarity.
In the end, the board approved the independent audit review without the involvement of the district administration and internal audit chair in the selection process.
The ayes have it, 5-0.
So what's great about this, you can kill it. Thank you, sir. The best part about all of this, right, is think about this. Gabe Trujillo doesn't want the opinion of the internal auditor, who did 64 of these things in 5 years, right? Or the audit committee, right? Literally saying, we're not interested in their work. And Sadie Shaw talks about, I haven't seen things like this since 20. We haven't been shared with this since 2020. Now, that's on all of them as board members going, oh, what the heck, right? But again, TUSD has always had horrible board members, right? In the end, this is the problem, right? When you have the Ravi Shaw, Natalie Luna Roses, Jennifer Ekstrom, Adelita Grijalvas, you know, Miguel Cuevas, what's the other one, the blonde lady? She was the one that would brush Adelita's hair. Crystal Foster, thank you, sir, right? When you have, and Raul Grijalva in the old days, when you have the worst board members on the history of the planet, this is what you get. And I just want to also tell you, all this is going on while they sold you that bond last year for $500 million. Let's get Pilar Ruiz on. Barney, if we ran out of time, God bless you. Have a nice week.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
Pilar, you got about 1:09. What's up, girl?
Hey, I just wanted to say thank you for playing that piece. And, you know, we need to let the public know to show up at the board meetings. And we need to let the public know to hold the administration accountable. Like, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to hold the administration accountable. But the thing is that TUSD is continually hiding things. And sadly, it has to come out through the news. If the board members would just acknowledge, and the administration acknowledge the problems, then they could actually get addressed.
So are we missing something in this idea that they don't want to hear from their own internal auditor and their own internal audit committee? Are we missing something, Pilar?
Well, they don't ever want to hear or get any publicity for anything that's the truth if it's not favorable to them.
This sounds, I mean, we just got rid of H.T. Sanchez a few years ago. I feel like we're getting back into the H.T. days.
We pretty much are, right? We want to talk about electric buses instead of, you know, safety and all these things that came out in the audit reports. I mean, the current board president and last year's board president should have acknowledged these audits and directed staff to fix the problems.
And
that
they clearly
would be Natalie Luna Rose and Ravi Shaw.
They clearly say that the reports are unreliable. They can't tell if the departments are working efficiently from these reports. So what good are they?
So remember, vote Pilar Ruiz. And who's the other guy? I forgot the other guy's name. The guy I never... What's...
The one you forget, his name is Esteban Flores.
That's the one.
Vote for Sadie Shaw. We got to reelect Sadie. She's the only one that tries to hold their feet to the fire.
Thanks, Pilar.